I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke in the first chapter. Can you guys believe it's Christmas already? Am I getting old or what? It just seems like time is just flying by. It's just unbelievable how fast it goes. And here we are, and it's almost Christmas, and next week I'm looking at taking down all the decorations. It looked like we just put them up yesterday. But we keep marching on, don't we? Time just keeps marching on. In our Bible study this morning, I want to read the familiar story to you from Luke. The prelude to the Christmas story, the introduction, or the announcement, rather, of the birth of the Son of God by the angel Gabriel to Mary. And it's found in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I'm going to read all the way down through verse 56, because I want to read about Mary in this whole passage of Scripture, her encounter with the angel, her encounter with her cousin Elizabeth, and I want to use Mary as an example for us today to learn some spiritual truths and lessons. Follow as I read along, or read along with me if you have your Bibles with you, from Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at that time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city in Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to his fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her another 3 months and then returned to her home. Let's pray together. Father, as we consider the words of Scripture today, we thank you for your word that is life to those who find them. God, even health to all of our flesh. We ask today, Lord, that your precious Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our understanding and impart to us spiritual truth that will cause faith to rise in our heart and love to come for Jesus. Encourage us through the word today, Father, that we might become the people that you have created us to be. We thank you for the help of your Holy Spirit who lives within us today as we believe in your Son to truly make all things possible and all things new. We thank you for blessing us with your presence here today and the teaching of the word of the Lord that will transform our lives as it renews our minds. We bless and praise you for all of this in Jesus' name and ask that you do it for his glory. Amen. Amen. Passages of scripture that we read for you this morning, of course, this is the prelude story to the birth of Jesus from Luke chapter 2. We read the details of that particular story. And it's an amazing story, the Christmas story of how God fulfilled his plan to send the Messiah, prophesied from Genesis chapter 3, from shortly after the fall of man, thousands of years before Jesus was ever born. God began to send messengers into the world and prophets who would tell Israel about the Messiah who was to come. And what an incredible story it all is. But I want to look at it this morning in a little bit different light. I want to look at this story, this Christmas story, in the light of the current series of messages that we've been bringing to you that we've entitled Destined to Win. Because we're making the point to you, and I see examples, I see spiritual principles, and I see an example in Mary of the principles of life that can cause all of us who believe in Jesus to truly be winners in life. We've told you for the last 3 or 4 weeks now that in every area of your life, God wants you to be a winner. Now let's understand what we mean by that. We're not saying that, you know, God wants you to have everything that you want, or that God wants you to have your way, or that God's going to find, he's going to fulfill your fleshly desires. But as we've shared with you before, when you and I learn to lay down those things and seek the heart of God, we find that the plan that God has for our lives is actually better than the plan that we had anyway. In fact, God promises in the scripture that he'll never take away anything from you that he doesn't give you back something better. And again, we have to understand that in the context of our relationship with God and the blessings that God wants to give of peace and joy and righteousness and happiness and fulfillment through a relationship with him. But brother and sister, we've learned that that's why we exist. That's why we're here. And none of us will ever really be fulfilled or happy in life until we discover that truth. That you were created for a relationship with God. And until you come into that relationship, nothing else you do in the world, and I don't care how much of it you get, I don't care how many things you do, how many places you go, nothing in this world will fulfill and fill the hole in your soul that's left there because of the absence of God due to the fall of man. And only God himself can fill that hole and make us feel fulfilled and complete in life. And in his goodness and in his love for us, he calls to us every day to come to his table and to feast at his word and to have fellowship with him and to experience his love and his power and his grace so that we become all that he destined us to become, so that we accomplish all that he's called us to accomplish, so that we become the people that God wants us to be. I read this scripture for you earlier. I want to read it just one more time from the book of Joshua. Chapter 1, as Joshua finds out how to be prosperous and successful in life. You remember the story of Joshua begins with the death of Moses and Joshua being anointed the next leader of the nation of Israel to lead them into the promised land, which is a picture for you and I, by the way, of the promises of God. And God tells Joshua in this passage of scripture the key to laying hold to the promises that he had made to Joshua. And it's an example for you and me because these same principles are true for us. The way Joshua laid hold to the promises that God made to him is the same way you and I are going to lay hold to the promises that God made to us. And it's really very simple. Listen to what God tells Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verses 7 and 8. God says this. He says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Can I just put it to you just as simply as I possibly can? Here's what God says in His book of instruction for life. God says, do it my way, I'll cause you to succeed. Is that simple enough? Do it my way, I'll cause you to succeed. And that's what God wants for all of us. And again, that doesn't mean, you know, necessarily having millions of dollars or all the material things of the world. But I tell you, there's some things in life that are much more valuable and much more important than those things. Something like peace of mind. Something like joy in your heart. Something like being able to go through the tragedies of life, such as we recently experienced up in Connecticut or in our own family over the years, as we've seen tragic deaths among loved ones in our own household and family. And how God, by His Spirit, enables us to walk through seasons of life like that and still have peace and still have joy because of His presence with us. And I tell you, there are just some things, and you, when you get as old as Jim and myself, you learn there are just some things. Listen, there are just some things in life. There really are some things in life that money can't buy. That money cannot buy. And God wants to give it to you. God wants to lavish those things that money can't buy. He wants to lavish those things on us. If we just follow Him, if we just do things His way, seek His heart, find out from the Word what God wants for our life. Simply put, the place of obedience is the place of power, the place of blessing, the place of freedom, the place of peace, the place of joy. Walking with God. Doing things God's way. And this is what we see in the life of Mary in this passage of Scripture that we read for you here today. Let me just share some things with you, just a few points on the life of Mary as they're revealed in this text that we read from Luke chapter 1 this morning. First of all, the text tells us here that she is from Nazareth. The angel goes, it tells us in verse 26, to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was a city that was kind of looked down on in its day. The people of Nazareth were people who were disrespected. People didn't think about it. Do you remember when early in the Gospels, one of the disciples went to a brother and he says, we have found the Messiah. He's Jesus of Nazareth. And you remember the response that came? The guy says, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? See, that was the response that they had toward this city because of the reputation of the people there. And it was disrespected, and people were looked down on from that particular city. She was also a peasant girl. We know from our history that Mary and Joseph both were very poor. When they came to dedicate Jesus after Jesus was born, after 8 days in the Jewish law, you went to the temple and you had a dedication, and you were to bring offerings to the Lord. And one of the offerings that you were to bring, if you couldn't bring the best offering God required, he said, if you can't afford that, he said, just bring a couple of doves, it'll be all right. And when you read the text in the Bible about Mary and Joseph dedicating Jesus, the offering they presented to God is doves. It's the birds. And so we know from that they're a people of poverty. She's from a city that's not respected, looked down on. She's a peasant girl. She's a girl that has nothing. And yet she has the call of God on her life to do something special for all the world. Isn't that amazing? You ever felt like your life wasn't worth much? You ever felt like you didn't have much value? You ever felt like you didn't have much purpose? And you wondered, what could you possibly have that could benefit anybody in any way? What difference could you possibly make to anybody else's life in the world? Well, this story teaches us that God uses anybody and everybody who has a heart that says, yes, Lord, do your will in my life. And she's a girl who from the outward is somebody that you wouldn't expect would be able to do anything for anybody. And yet she becomes the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ and brings Messiah into the world. God communicated her his plan to her by an angel. The angel Gabriel, it tells us in verse 26, goes to the city and communicates the message of the Lord. Do you understand today that God wants to communicate with you? Now, he may not do it by way of an angel. That'd be kind of nice. But those things are pretty rare. In fact, in all of the Bible, there are just a dozen or so. You understand that the Bible covers several thousands of years of human history, and there aren't but a couple of dozen appearances of angels in the whole of Scripture. And so those kinds of things are pretty rare. And yet in certain circumstances and situations, even angels would show up. And by the way, I still believe in angels. I believe they're here today. I don't believe that the Bible's mythology. I believe it's truth. I believe it's fact. And I believe angels are real, and I believe they're here with us today. The Bible tells us that we entertain angels unaware. And that angels have a ministry toward us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I think when we get to heaven, I'm looking forward to that. I think God's going to let us see some of the things that angels did for us in our lifetime. And we didn't know they were even there. They were even present with us. Yet they were watching over us and watching out for us and taking care of us. God chooses through an angel. I think God does that under special circumstances. Special circumstances require special messengers. And so he sends an angel to relay his message to Mary about what he's called her to do with her life. But listen, God wants to speak to every one of us. God wants to speak to every one of us about the call that he's got on our life and the plan that he has. Because God does have a purpose for everybody. He has something that you can do that can bring glory and honor to Jesus. And help other people to know him. And that's why we're here. We're here to love God. And we're here to witness to people. And God wants to use us to that end. So that others can know him too. And the Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to read that passage as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That God wants to speak to every one of us by the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us when we believe in Jesus. He wants to speak to every one of us and reveal his plans and purposes for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it tells us in verse 9 that things that eye has not seen and ear has not heard and have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, God has revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, he tells us, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things that are freely given to us by God. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. And he's given you as a believer, he's given you the Holy Spirit so that he can communicate that plan to you so that you can know exactly what it is that God wants you to do with your life. Mary receives the word of the Lord. She receives the message of the angel. Now, I'm convinced back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm convinced that Mary receives the word of the Lord without doubt. Now, she doesn't understand, but I don't believe there's any doubt in her heart. And let me explain why I say that to you. Because when you read the text and the angel says, you're gonna bring the Messiah, you're going to bear a son, and she says, how can that be? And it looks like doubt, and I understand that. But if you compare that to a previous story just a little bit earlier in the chapter, there's another guy that answered the same way. His name is Zacharias. Same angel. Visit Zechariah. He and his wife Elizabeth have wanted children. They're old, haven't had any children. The angel says, your wife's going to have a son. And Zechariah says, pretty much the same thing Mary said. How can that be? Only the angel responds differently to Zechariah than he did to Mary, which implies to me that there's something different in Zechariah's heart than there was in Mary's. Okay? Remember the story? Zechariah says, how can that be? Man, we're old. How are we going to have children? And the angel says, because of your doubt, I'm going to close your mouth until the son is born. And so he expresses, he tells Zechariah that there's doubt in his heart. But to Mary, he responds differently. And I believe it's because there's not doubt in her heart. She just wants to understand. And so he begins to explain and he says, here's how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to cause you to give birth to the Son of God. The power of God is going to come upon you. God's going to do a miracle within you. And the Holy Child that you bring into the world will be the Messiah of God. See, she trusts and believes, and here's the key. She doesn't understand, but she believes anyway. That's probably one of our biggest downfalls as human beings. We have to understand before we'll believe. But God wants us to believe what we can't see. In fact, that's really the definition of faith. Faith is believing what you can't see. It's believing what maybe you can't fully understand. But you believe it anyway because God says it's true. And the angel told her what was true. And she chose to believe the word of the Lord. Brother and sister, that's faith. This is the same woman, if you remember, a little, 30 years later, in the ministry of Jesus, as it starts, Jesus goes to a wedding feast. And at the wedding feast, they run out of wine. And this is going to be a great embarrassment to the host family. And Mary is there as a part of the family there. And she comes to Jesus and she says, they've run out of refreshments. Jesus says, what does that have to do with me? And she looks at Jesus' disciples and the other hosts and the waiters of the wedding party. And here's Mary. Listen, this is the woman who believes things that she can't see. She believes things she doesn't understand. She has no idea. What is Jesus going to do? She has no idea. Understand, up to this point, Jesus has never worked a miracle. And yet, Mary knows in her heart, somehow, Jesus can handle it. That's faith, brother and sister. And that's a spiritual lesson for you and me. You and I, we look at our lives, and we see things going on in our lives today, and we have troubles, and we have difficulties, and we have problems. I got a car. I can't make it run more than a week. It conked out on me again this past week, took Ben to the doctor over next to the hospital. I'll get in that car and start it, and it'll go every day for a week. In fact, it's been 3 or 4 weeks this last time. And it'll run just beautifully. And then all of a sudden, it just decided not to run. And there I am sitting in the parking lot over at the Pearson Center, and I turn the key, and nothing happens. So Ben has to take me home. I go over there the next day. I get in the car. I turn the key, fires up, and off I go. Timmy, I'm glad you're in town, brother. I need somebody to look at my car. The dealership has no idea what's wrong with my car. They can't fix it. Somebody asked me the other day, did you lay hands on it? I told her, I said, no, but I sure wanted to curse it. And it's just, you know, we have things that go on in our life. And that's a minor thing compared to a lot of the things that we have going on in our lives today. But we all have things that go on in our lives. We don't understand. Why is this happening? What's going on? But faith says, even though we can't understand it, we know somehow Jesus can fix it. Jesus can fix it. And in her heart, she's at this wedding. She goes to Jesus because what do you call a guy who makes wine? A winemaker. Thank you. We'll go with that, all right? He's not one of those. But she knows Jesus can fix it. Jesus can fix it. So she turns to the waiters at the wedding, and she says this, and this is just awesome. She says, whatever he says to do, just do it. Wow. That's the message, that's the key, brother and sister, of living a victorious, successful, blessed Christian life. Whatever he says, just do it. Don't try to stop and figure it out. Don't wait until you've got an explanation of understanding. Don't wait until it agrees with your theology. Don't wait until it agrees with your will. Just whatever he says, do it. And you know the story of the wedding feast. Jesus did a miracle. Jesus did a miracle. And that's the heart of this woman, Mary, who believed what the angel said Even though it made no sense to her, she didn't understand how this is going to happen. Yet she had faith to believe. And because of that, God worked a miracle in her life. In whatever situation we find ourselves in as believers in the Lord, we need to go to God with it. We need to go to God's Word with it. We need to find out what the Scripture says. We need to find out what the Holy Spirit says. And then whatever God says, just do it. Just do it as an expression of our faith, whether we understand, whether it makes sense, whether we like it or not. Just do it because God says to do it. And when we live by faith that way, we will have success. By the way, that's kind of where we're going with this series of messages. Over the next few weeks, we're going to continue to talk about being destined to win. And I want to focus on marriage, husband and wife relationships, and what it takes to be a winner in a marriage. I want to talk about finances. Did you know that the Bible has tons of information about how to handle money and be successful financially? The Bible does. And brother and sister, if you and I would just do it, whatever he says to do, just do it. We're going to look at life in general and overcoming bitterness and pain and anger and resentment and fears and worries and doubt and depression and all of these things. And talk about how God wants us to be an overcomer in every area of these things in our life and live victoriously. Brother, listen, I am convinced as a child of God, God wants us to win in every area of life, that we're destined to win. So Mary has heard the angel's call. She has responded in faith to the angel. And that verse in verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Do what you will." By her own testimony, verse 34, she is a virgin, and yet she believes that God can do a miracle and bring forth the son that he has promised. Now watch how. Look at verses 34 and 35. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Now watch this. God says, all you need to do, Mary, for my promise to come to pass in your life, all you need to do is cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. When he speaks to you, do what he tells you to do. That's going to require her to submit her life into the hands of the Spirit of God. Not to try to figure it out, not to try to work it out, but just surrender to the hands of God. And so it is with you and I. God calls us to surrender our lives into his hands so that we can truly succeed and become all that God wants us to be. And by the way, how many of you understand today that it's more important to God what we become than what we accomplish? God's more concerned about who we are than what we do. Because God knows when we get the being right, when we get that part of who we are, when we get the character dealt with, the doing will take care of itself. When we become the people of integrity, the people of honesty, the people of love, then the doing and the walking out of it just will come naturally to us. So God's more concerned about what we become than what we accomplish. But both are achieved the same way, by surrendering our lives into the hand of the Holy Spirit and letting him change us from within. Philippians 1:6, "He who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus." In other words, the Holy Spirit is at work in us, transforming our lives, renewing us from within, making us better people. He's working on us constantly to make us more like Jesus. Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly far beyond anything that we ask or think, according to his power, which works mightily within us." It's the Holy Spirit who's working in us to make us what God wants us to be, and then to work through us to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in our lives. One of my favorite passages that teaches the same truth is in Psalm 138. I'm going to read this one for you, verses 7 and 8. David is writing, David is the psalmist here in Psalm 138, and he says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me." Well, hear the heart of David. David said, dude, things are breaking out bad everywhere I look, but I'm trusting in you, God. And I know, even though my enemies are railing against me, God, you're going to raise me up. You're going to cause me to be triumphant. And I'm going to be victorious, even in the midst of it. How many of you understand today? The Bible never tells us that if we come to Jesus, all of our problems will go away. In fact, if you know anything at all as a Christian, listen, when you come to Jesus, you're likely to multiply the problems that you had in life because the devil doesn't like it that you came to Christ. And he's going to see to it that you have opportunities to doubt, to worry, to fear, in the hopes that he can get you to turn your back on Christ and walk away from the Lord. Understand, child of God, we are in a battle over our souls for the rest of our lives. And God is seeking to save those that are lost, and the devil is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's a battle raging, and we need to respond to the Spirit of the Lord, and we need to trust in God to give us the victory. David said, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me." No doubt in his mind, no doubt in his heart. "You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me." Look at verse 8. "The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the work of your hands." He says, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. God has a plan. God has a destiny. But if I will just give my life into the hands of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit Himself will lead me and guide me. The Spirit Himself will transform me from within. And the Spirit Himself will lead me so that what God wants me to accomplish will be accomplished in God's power. God will accomplish that which concerns you and I. I tell people all the time when they come to me saying, well, I just don't know what the will of the Lord is. Listen. Here's your responsibility. You just get up one day at a time and take care of business. You do what you're supposed to do today. You live a life of integrity. You be an honest person. You do what you're supposed to do. You walk in love. You take care of the character issues. God's going to take care of everything else. And as long as you're walking the path that you know He wants you to walk, He'll open the doors. He'll reveal the big plan. He'll fulfill your ultimate destiny in life, and He will make all things new for you because He loves you and wants you to succeed and wants you to be an overcomer. The Lord graciously, back to Luke, let me try to get through this quickly here. The Lord graciously gives Mary confirmation of what He's doing in her life. And isn't God good to do that for us? God will speak to our heart and show us His plan. And as we begin to walk it out, God will bring people into our path who can confirm for us what He's saying and what He's doing and help us along the way. Mary goes into Elizabeth's house. And notice in verse 41, it says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, all she said was, hey, hello, what's up? That's all she heard. And look at what happens. It says in verse 41, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord? How did she get all of that out of, hey? All Mary said was, hello? And yet Elizabeth knows all that's going on inside of her. The Spirit of the Lord has told Elizabeth what's going on in the body of Mary. And she knows that Mary has been anointed by God to bring the Messiah into the world. And Elizabeth, by the Spirit, begins to prophesy. And she too confirms what the angel has told to Mary, that she is going to bear the Messiah of God and the Savior of the world. And then we see, and I'm going to wrap this up, then we see in verses, well, first of all, verse 45 tells us, Elizabeth tells us that Mary is a person of faith. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. So Elizabeth knows all of this stuff about Mary, and all she said is, hey, and she knows that she has heard from God that she's going to bear the Messiah of the world, and that she has believed that this child that she's going to bear is in fact the Christ, and she's a virgin, and yet she's going to have a child, and all of these things have been made known to her by the Spirit of the Lord. And then we see Mary's faith expressed in verses 46 through 56. This particular passage of Scripture is entitled in my Bible, the Magnificat. The term literally means to magnify. And it's a song of worship and praise that Mary begins to sing to God, and worship that she begins to give to the Lord as she rejoices in God at the confirmation that she's received from Elizabeth about this miracle that's taken place on the inside of her. See, brother and sister, faith produces an action in our life. Faith produces a vocabulary. And did you know that faith has a language all its own? Faith has a language all its own. And the language of faith, brother and sister, is praise. The language of faith is praise. Our words of worry and anxiety and fear and all of those things are really just expressions of doubt and unbelief in our heart that God can really take care of our situation. But Mary's heart is full of faith. And the song that she sings is a song of praise. Praise is the language of faith. Not only that, in these dozen verses or whatever, Mary, understand that Mary is very young. Culturally, Mary is probably only about 14, 15 years old. This was just the way things went in that day and time and in that culture. When young girls married at a very early age so that they begin having children and could bring forth a large family. It's just the way the culture was in those days. And so it's not unusual for a woman of her age to be pregnant. But she's only about 14, 15 years old or something like that. And yet we find out from this song that she sings to the Lord in praise that this is a young woman of the Word. This is a woman of the Word of God. This is a woman of great faith in the Lord. Almost every one of those verses that we read there, verses 48 or whatever through 55, almost every one of them is either a quote or a reference to Old Testament passages of Scripture that speak of the Messiah of God. And she knows all of these verses, and she knows she has, to what degree she can, she has a relationship with the Lord, and she has a great faith in God, and she worships the Lord in that language of faith. And I want you to notice that she uses some of these phrases in the past tense about the Messiah who is even yet to be born. Verse 51 says, He has done mighty deeds, past tense. He has scattered, past tense. Verse 52, He has brought down, He has exalted, He has filled, He has given. All of these things are spoken in the past tense because she is seeing, brother and sister, listen, she is seeing what the eye can't see. She is seeing the unseen and speaking of her faith, declaring the truth of the Messiah of God, who is even yet to be born. And yet she sings her song of praise to the Lord, expressing her faith in God to accomplish through her what He promised He would do. That's faith, brother and sister. It's the kind of faith that experiences victory. It's the kind of faith that receives the reward. The Bible tells us faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And you and I, brother and sister, are destined to win. If we'll trust our lives into the hands of God, if we'll let Him have control, if we'll listen to the voice of the Spirit of God, if we will just do what He says to do, instead of trying to figure it out, instead of trying to reason it out, instead of trying to understand it, instead of even trying to even come to agreement other than the fact that we're going to obey. When we surrender our lives into the hands of God, God will bring us victory. I challenge you today as a child of God to believe in the goodness of the Lord, To believe that God can give you victory in every circumstance of life. And I don't know what you might be going through today. You might be having some things going on in your life you haven't told anybody about. You might be going through some very difficult or tragic times. I want to tell you today, Mary said, or the angel said it to Mary, nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. And I don't mean in any way, shape, or form to diminish what you're going through. But I am trying to magnify God over it. Because I know no matter what you're going through, God's bigger. God's bigger. And God can give you the victory through it if you trust your life into His hands. God is able. He can turn our sorrow to gladness, our mourning to rejoicing. He can work all things together for our good. He can cause us to be prosperous and to have success because we're destined to win as children of God. Let's pray together. And Father, we thank You, as always, for the gift of Your Son, Jesus. I pray today, Lord, You would help every one of us to see, open our spiritual eyes and realize how completely empty our lives really are if we don't know Jesus and if we don't walk with Jesus every day of our life. Help us to recognize this great truth, Father, so that we would stop trying to fill the void in our life with ordinary things, and so that we would run to You and allow You to fill our lives with Your Spirit. We thank You for Your love today, God. We thank You that You never leave us or forsake us. Even when we wander away from You, God, You're still right there, waiting on us, beckoning to us, calling us to Your heart. For Your love never ceases. Your mercies never fail. They're new every morning. So Lord, I pray that You open our eyes today. Open our eyes, every one of us. Open our eyes to our daily need for Jesus. Especially in this Christmas season of the year, Father, when the world is tugging at our heart in so many different directions, and there's so many different things to do and places to go and people to see and parties to be a part of. Lord, above it all, help us to remember You. Help us to remember You, God. And help us to love You with all of our heart. I want to pray for my church family today, God. I thank You for Rob Ragland's surgery this past week and the success of it. And I pray, Father, You would continue to bring healing to his body now. I pray that his recovery would be much quicker than even the doctors are saying, and that his back would heal, that he would have no more pain. I pray for Ann Metz today, Lord. Lift her to You. I pray, Father, You would touch her. That in grace, Lord, she would find her strength. She would find her peace and her joy. God, I still pray for her to be made well, because I know nothing is impossible for You. Pray for Betty and Lawrence Gallier today, Lord, just to continue to pray and lift them to You and ask for Your favor, Your goodness in their lives, healing for Betty and strength. Lord, I especially want to pray for Sybil today. She goes through the Christmas holidays for the first time in many, many years without her husband. I pray, God, that somehow You would fill that void in her life. That she would have the assurance in her heart that Judd is with You today. That he's celebrating his first Christmas ever in the throne room of God. And Lord, may May she know the joy of the Lord as the result. God, there's others in our church family over this past year that have lost fathers, mothers, brothers, or sisters. This will be a different Christmas for each of them in their own way. Different than it has been for a long, long time. God, would you reach out and touch them? Would you minister life to them by your Spirit today? Would you cause them to know the joy of the Lord, which can be their strength? I pray for Ken and Barbara Horton today, Lord, as they go through now their second Christmas without Aaron and Rachel. I pray for them that you would help them to know the peace and the joy of the season. And I pray for all of us that we would look beyond this world, that you would give us eyes to see into the next, that we would understand our believing loved ones are with you today, and one day as we continue to believe, we will be reunited with them forever. My sister Linda and my brother Gary and the loss of parents this past year. I pray for the Spirit of the Lord to be poured out on their lives and for the love of God to flood their hearts and minds. And for the assurance of salvation to be so real to them that they would celebrate this holiday season with joy. Nothing is impossible for you, Lord. And you call us to be your people who walk in victory in every area of our life. And you provide the victory through the cross of Calvary and the blood of Jesus. And you manifest the victory by the power of your Holy Spirit working in each of us as we trust and rely on you. I pray that today, Lord, would be a day of renewal for every single one of us. That today, God, we would give our lives to you fresh. We would give our lives to you anew. That today would be a brand new start of life lived in the presence of the living God. Let that be our purpose, that we might fulfill our destiny for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Would you stand with me this morning as we bring our service to a close? Stay in an attitude of prayer with me for just a moment. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Lord. I'll ask you to do this as we bring our service to a close today, as we stand quietly together in the presence of the Lord. And please be aware that God is here today. God is here with us in this very moment. God is with you right now in this very moment. God is with me. And I want to ask you to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to join me this morning. Would you take a long, hard, honest look at your heart today? Would you allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak to you about the condition of your heart? Let's let God show us if there's any wicked way in us. And let's give it to the Lord so that He can change it and make it new. And the Scripture
Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new." That blesses me. That excites me. Today is a brand new day. Brand new opportunities. Brand new hope. Brand new vision for the future. Brand new things that God wants to accomplish in us and through us as His children. Let's be as wise as the little girl we read about in Scripture today, little Mary. When the Lord spoke to her, she simply said, "Yes, Lord, be it done to me according to your word." Let's say to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, whatever you want to do here, be it done to us according to your word. Make us new. Give us new life. Let it begin today." Father, I thank you that you do indeed make all things new. And as we stand before you today with our hearts open and laid bare before you, God, we trust your judgment. And we say, Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us. Pour out your spirit on us fresh today, Lord. Fill us with your love. Help us to live it for your glory. May the light of Christ shine brightly in each of us that the world may know. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you for reminding us of what this season's all about and who we are as your children and what you want to do in our lives. I pray, Father, that we would remember what you've spoken to us beyond the walls of this building today and that you would help us to live it for your glory. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's sing together.
In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay. In your presence, day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Have a great day. Please join us tomorrow night for our Christmas Eve service. And have a Merry Christmas.